Sort of, do I introduce myself? I'm Neil. Put one of the pastors here. We talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit that God had promised us and who showed up on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' death. And after the Passover, 50 days later, 50 days after the second day of Passover, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And one of the things that I've just been really dwelling on this week is our experience. Our experience. I remember one of the most desired things that I ever had was that, you know, I'd watch travel shows on TV and you'd see people and they're in a place where it's winter, it's snowing, there's lots of snow everywhere, and you see them sitting in a hot spring. Looking out, you know, it's like they're somehow sheltered from all this coldness and sitting there enjoying it. And it was one of those things in my mind, I was like, that must be amazing. You know what I mean? Where you're looking at it going, that looks like a great experience. That is something that I wish I had. Well, I got to have that experience. We went to Canada, me and Joe, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago now, saved up our money. We put in a bit of effort to get there. Made sure that we both had holidays, so we weren't just quitting work, and we were still getting paid over there. And we went over, we went to a place called Banff in autumn, not really meant to be snowing, but we had the most amazing snow, heavy as anything, like covered the cars and the streets. And there's a hot spring, sort of just up the hill a little bit. I drove up, and my wish came true. It was snowing just beautifully, gently. It wasn't like stormy or anything like that. And we went there and I got to go out, walk outside, which was freezing cold because you had to walk to the warm water, and sat in that water and just looked out. And the experience was worth it. You know, it was something that I thought I'd enjoy, I thought I'd like, and I did. It was amazing. You're sitting in this warm water, and it's absolutely freezing. I think it was like -8 degrees or something outside. And so here I am enjoying this warm water and soaking the experience. How many times in our life have we been like that? Where we look at something and we're like, oh, that just looks so amazing. You know, whether it's on TV or whether it's someone else's experience, you might look and see a roller coaster and you're like, oh, I'd love to go on that. That must be so amazing. Or you sit there talking to someone about their experiences, you know what I mean? You're like, you're sitting there and they're telling all these big stories about what's happened in their life and how they went out fishing and they caught this, you know, 100-pound monster of a fish and brought it in and they were so tired and exhausted. Or someone played a sports game and you know, it came down to the wire and on that last kick they won the game or something like that. And they said it just felt so amazing. They were so exhausted and so tired, but the exhilaration was there. I was thinking about that with our Christian walk, you know, that sometimes we don't experience Christ at all. You know, there's certain things that I want to talk about today that every Christian should experience. Because you know what? It's great to know, you know, God loves me, but it's better to experience that love. It's great to know that I can have joy, filled with the Holy Spirit with joy, but it's better to have that joy. It's great to know that I can experience all the good things of God, but it's better to actually experience all the good things of God, isn't it? And how often that we look and we know, but we sometimes don't enter into the experience. And the sad thing of that is that it's actually available to us. It's not like we can't have that experience. You know, we look around at people and we're like, you know, how come they're so peaceful? How come they've got the peace of God, but I don't have that peace of God? How come I know that I should have it? I've seen that and I've actually heard that experience from someone else. Have you ever had that where you're like, you know, someone comes up to me and, you know, blah, 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 I was praying the other day and the Lord said to me, and you're like, the Lord what? The Lord said to you? That's never happened to me. I've never experienced that. I've never heard His voice in any way, shape or form in my life. And it's almost like you feel really ripped off, you know, and sometimes we pretend to be excited about that experience that someone else is having. But deep in our heart, we're just like, I wish I had that. I wish I felt God's love, because at the moment I feel so in love, but I wish I felt it. I want to talk a little bit about a few of those things today and say, guys, you can have it. Sometimes, though, there is something we have to do. There is a price we have to pay. You see, if I'd stayed in Darwin, does anyone know the probability of snow in Darwin? Any statisticians? statisticians with an S. Thank you for correcting me, Lee. But I could have sat here in Darwin thinking about this experience, going, you know what, I want to experience that experience, that's amazing, I'm going to sit in Darwin every single day, I'm going to go outside. Well, first of all, I have to find a hot spring, right? So maybe I'll drive to Douglas Daly every afternoon, waiting for this experience to come, but it's never going to come because I haven't put myself in the right place to get the experience that I need. True? Well, how many times is that the same with us in our Christian walk? We're saying we want to experience God. No, I just want to know His peace. I want to feel His joy. I want to know His love. And yet, even as Christians, just as Christians, we fail to put ourselves in the right place, or fail to have the right attitude, or fail to have the right heart to actually gain what God has for us. You see, we're sometimes just really lazy. We're like, you know, we know these are the promises of God. Now, there's no doubt about it, as we talk through these things, we know that these are promises of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." Not the world's peace, my peace I leave with you. We know that our hearts should be filled with joy. We know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? Love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control, those things that the Holy Spirit imparts to us. Yet, we're like, I've never felt the self-control of the Spirit. Every single time something happens, every time I hit my thumb with a hammer, it is definitely not self-control that comes out of my mouth. It's something else. But it might be in other areas of life where you're like, I'm just so lacking in that area. And yet, as a Christian, shouldn't I actually have those things? Shouldn't those things be part of my life? Shouldn't they be given to me? Because Jesus said they're given to me. That is absolutely true. But at the same time, there are sometimes things that we need to do or take part in or decide in our heart, this is what I'm going to do. So let's just take an example that with God, you know, I am close to those who are close with me, basically. It's like, you choose to seek me, you'll find me. You understand? You seek, you will find. You don't seek, you won't find. It's as simple as that. And we want the blessings of Christianity, which we should, of course, want. Who doesn't want those? I want them. I want God's blessing poured out of my life in such an amazing way. I want to have peace in troubled circumstances. I want to have love when the world around me is lacking in love. I want to have hope when everyone else is hopeless. I want to have, you know, patience when everyone else is just looking for the next thing. I want to have a rich relationship when everyone just wants to, you know, pass on and be selfish. I want those rich things in life. But with God, to gain those things, sometimes we have to actually make a move. Make a move towards God. Say, for example, we'll go through them and we'll talk about them. Okay. First of all, these are a few of the things. We're going to talk about 8 things that we can experience in Christ. The first thing that we must experience is salvation. Would you say that's true? If we don't have salvation, then we'll never experience Christ at all. So if you're here this morning and you're like, these things you're talking about, I actually want them, but you know what? You'll never have them without salvation. Without giving your life to Jesus Christ, you will never have them. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Salvation is something that we must experience, and it's experienced only through what? Through knowing Christ. But then there's this full experience of salvation. we could get saved but never come to the fullness of what God has for us, a full experience of salvation. So as I go through this, I want you to identify through these verses, if it's in there. There may not be something in there because I'll be talking about it, but what is it that I need to do to get the full experience of salvation? You must crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, you've got to go, I need to seek after God, find out what His Word says. I need to be hungry for the things of God. If I ever want to have the fullness of the experience of salvation, my heart needs to cry out for the nourishment. I need to make time to seek after these things. Salvation must be there first, because salvation is the expression of love from God. As Ron was talking about this morning, you know, God gave His Son, who took our punishment, who by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And that comes through knowing God through salvation. So we need to experience, number one, salvation. You don't have salvation? Forget the rest of this. But if you don't have salvation, you can have these next things coming. If today you go, I need God in my life. Secondly, the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Here is the truth. God is love. God is not a person who loves. God is love. The very essence of love is God, because God is love. And we cannot separate God from love, because God is love. And so as Paul's writing here, he's saying, you know what? I want you to actually experience the love of God. I don't want you to know about the love of God. I don't want you to just, you know, somewhere up in the never nether, there's a God that loves me. You need to experience His love. How is that experienced in your life? Well, there's so many ways that His love is experienced in my life as I draw close to Him, but I can see through so many things that God loves me. He loves me when He answers my prayers in a way that, you know, encourages me and lifts me up. He loves me when I'm feeling down and all of a sudden I read a verse that says, you know, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, He loves me. He loves me because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sin when I was lost. He loves me. But it's not just knowing it, it's the experience of it that I somehow feel the love of God. But how do I feel the love of God? Remember last week I talked about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that we can make up or conjure up. This is something that is given to us. The love of God is poured out into our life through the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important that we take the time and make the time to go, God, I want to sit in Your presence. Holy Spirit, I want You to fill me. Holy Spirit, I am emptying myself of me and I'm giving room for You. Holy Spirit, today I ask You to come upon me with Your presence and power. The song that we sang, you know, with Matt, Holy Spirit, I just want to be in Your presence. I want to be in Your presence. Who knows that looking at a photo of the person that you love, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, kid, mother, father, cousin, brother, any other things you want to put there. But I could come home every single day, have a photo of my wife, come in and say, hi, Joe, so great to see you. It's been a really good day, and put it back on the shelf. How many people know that I won't experience any love from Joe doing that? How many know that she won't experience any love that I have from doing that? You see, the experience of love is lived out through relationship. It's just the same as when we think, you know what, I can be a Christian without going to church or having anything to do with Christians. But the Bible says that we are to love one another, that we're to overcome a lot of things through love, that we're to live with brotherly love and affection. And I can tell you right now, it's far easier for me to love you in an internet group than when I meet you face to face. Because you see, love is worked out through those relationships. As there's troubles, as there's irritations, as there's annoyances, love overcomes those things. And love therefore becomes an action, not just an emotion and not just a word that I say, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, I love you because guess what? I'm prepared to make sacrifices. I'm prepared to change. I'm prepared to be patient. I'm prepared to be kind. As the Bible talks about love, love is patient, love is kind. Love doesn't keep an account of wrong. Love believes and hopes, believes the best of people. And that is why love is lived out through relationship. And that relationship has to be built with God as well. We're like, but God, you're not here. Yet what did we read about last week? The Holy Spirit is promised to everyone who believes. That is how the love of God is felt by us. And I know it's true. I don't just think God loves me. I know it's true because I build that relationship with Him. If you want to experience the love of God, you must open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:2-5. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Experience the joy of your faith. Experience the joy of your faith. Again, is your Christianity bringing you happiness? Is your faith bringing you joy? Are you delighted? Just like when David wrote in the Psalms, I rejoice. I rejoice when I heard them say, let's go down to God's house today. Or were you like, oh man, I got to get up for church. Must admit, I'm sometimes like that, and that's when I'm preaching. But sometimes, you know, it's like we don't have this joy of our salvation. In fact, salvation itself, serving God is not a joy. And so we end up walking this miserable Christian life. But we want to experience that joy. How do I experience that joy? Here's what you might need to do. There's a psalm that says, in His presence is fullness of joy. You see, while we chase everything else to give us happiness, while we chase everything else to give us joy, God is saying this, stop. If you haven't got joy, get into my presence. It sort of seems to always go back to that, doesn't it? God's presence. Get into my presence. You know, I don't have any joy. Hey, there's a worship night next weekend. Saturday night. Why don't you just make a decision? I'm coming down and I'm entering into God's presence in worship. Do you know what? It just might break something in your life. It might give you some joy because it's nothing to do with external, it's to do with the seeking of God and being in His presence. But I can see more and more in the Christian world that we tend to walk away from the experience of God because there's so much else crowding our life. And God's not asking for much, really, is He? He's asking for us to get into His presence. What for? To enrich us. So that we can experience the joy of our salvation. And it's amazing when you get into that place how easy life is. It's not like everything you do for God is a problem. You're not setting up chairs. You're not doing morning tea. You're not greeting at the door. You're not helping your neighbor. You're not making meals for someone and thinking, oh, I hate doing this. This is the worst. But I know it's an expectation of me as a Christian that I must do these things. And our hearts can become so heavy and so dead so quickly. Because we lose the joy of our salvation, the joy of serving, which is found by being in God's presence, by making that decision that I'm going to seek Him. Philippians 4:7. So we're coming at the end of what Paul's writing here. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Can I just ask you, where do you need peace? I have a feeling it's in your heart and it's in your mind. That the turmoil of overthinking, over worrying, over whatever it might be is troubling your mind, and your heart feels so troubled. Your guts almost churn. That's where you need God's peace. So we see here in Philippians 4:7, then there's a thing that says, then you will experience God's peace. What do we know about that? If we do what's before it, we're going to have his peace. What is before it? Let me tell you. You can read it yourself. Good idea. Go through, read that this week. Number one, refuse to be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Ask God for what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And then the peace of God will come. You see, we want peace without actually taking things to the Lord sometimes. We want peace without making a decision. I'm refusing to be anxious. I'm going to change my pattern. I call it turn your worries into prayers. That's just how I think about it for myself. It's like, as soon as I have a worry or anxiety about anything, what does the Bible say to me do? Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, put in its place something that will actually be an answer. Instead, pray about everything. Stop worrying, start praying. Stop worrying, start praying. Remembering while you're doing it to thank God for what he's already done in your life. Thank him for Jesus. Thank him for all the good things that you have in your life. Thank him for the answers to that last prayer that you prayed. Thank him for everything that he's done. And ask him for what you need. You see, sometimes we don't want to approach God because we're like, oh, God's too busy. God's too busy solving the Middle East crisis. God's too busy healing that person with cancer. God's too busy doing whatever. But the thing is that God is not limited, right? I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, he's the God of the impossible. Well, actually, he isn't. Because with God, all things are possible. So in other words, there is no impossible with God. So when we say God's God of the impossible, he's not. Because everything's possible. I don't even know if that word exists in God's vocabulary, if he speaks English. But I'm pretty sure that that word is not there for him to think about. So when we actually take stock of that and we're looking at our lives and the things that are happening, God says all things are possible to those who believe. That's the fourth time I've dropped that. All things are possible. Then you will experience God's peace. The next thing we want to experience is the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Philippians 3, verse 10 to 11. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that one way or other I will experience the resurrection from the dead. There's two things here. We can't experience the resurrection from the dead until we die. So we'll wait for that one. But right now, we can experience God's mighty power. Just as we were praying this morning, as Shannon come up here and says, we want breakthrough. God's power is far above anything else. And we don't want to just hear about God's mighty power, do we? I know I don't. I want to experience it. I want to know that there's been times and moments in my life where it was humanly impossible, but it was possible because God's mighty power worked. And you can see God's mighty power in your life because the whole point of it is that transforming you into a new creature. Hey, this is what I was like, But the power of God changed me. I was an alcoholic. I gave it up because God changed me. I was lost as an angry person, but God's power changed me, and now I'm a peaceful, loving man or woman. God's power to transform. You want to experience that in your life, don't you? Do you want to be the same today as you were yesterday and the day before? No. And this is available to us as we ask Him for it. And again, we look at the Holy Spirit. What happened when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? They were baptized with power. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Do you want some rest in your life? Do you feel overburdened? Do you feel like life's just too much? God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. There's a promise of entering into God's rest and experiencing that rest. If you haven't got it in your life today, there's a promise of entering into His rest. But who doesn't enter into His rest? Those who don't believe, if you read through that chapter, you'll see it. It was talking about the Israelites and how they were grumbling, complaining and moaning in the wilderness, how they didn't believe what God had said to be true. And so they ended up wandering for year after year after year, and the wilderness definitely speaks of lack of anything, like your provision's there, but God's provision's there, but you're not entering into the promises of God. It was because they didn't believe and because they didn't obey God. It's crazy how we think that we can have rest without obedience. That we can just live any way we want and not obey God and still have a rest. It doesn't happen. True rest happens when we believe God and we're obedient. And you know the best thing of it is that when God talks about us entering into our rest, what it is? We rest from our labor. If you want rest, it means that you are going to have to stop being the answer to every situation, every problem, every question, everything that's happening in